You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Tough some days to kind of go through that process?
Sorry, guys. I can't hear you right now. Just one sec.
Technical difficulties? This could have been a problem as of 4:52 p.m.
exactly.
Eastern time on Saturday.
You guys got a...
If William calls him flip phone.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Darren Detition in here. Noodles in Montreal tonight calling that game. Ray's down in Buffalo calling the Leaf game tonight. So we will chat with Ray in just a moment. We mentioned Bruce Boudreau's quote in the previous hour. They're in Vancouver tonight. I guess he was at a hotel in Vancouver and an alarm went off at like 2 in the morning. And he just said, I'm not doing it. I'm not leaving the hotel room. I'm going to chance it. And that's the way it goes. And I saw Babcock's quote today. Because I'm expecting a lot of Leaf fans in Buffalo tonight. I know it's a Tuesday night, but they always show up.
You can get tickets.
Absolutely. And Babcock, I guess, was kind of in hero mode, pumping the tires of the Sabres. And he said, it's getting to a point where they're getting so good, Leaf fans aren't going to be able to get tickets anymore.
That's just a slap in the face and a hero comment. Dumb.
Leaf fans are getting tickets down in Buffalo. Because Sabres fans are smart. They know they will pay a lot of money for tickets. Yeah. It's not that
Scalper's paradise, baby.
Exactly. It's not that Sabres fans don't want to go to the game. They sit there and they're like, these guys are going to pay me four times the face
100%.
Value.
It's like the Patriots coming to town.
Absolutely.
And the Bills just sell
that's
the
just,
tickets.
He's made some, like, he's got to talk to the media every day, but that's just a dumb comment. It's a slap in the face to Sabres fans. Why do you want to have, I don't know, I don't like it.
Dude, wasn't the slap in the face when he showed up there and was actually going to coach the team? And then he's like, hey, oh, by the way, I just got 8 bills thrown at me by the Maple Leafs per season. I think I'm going to go there.
Remember how rattled the media was?
Well, you know what? At that point in
time, Murray's glasses were fogging up.
Well, the thing was, Todd McClellan just got hired by Edmonton at that point in time. And I remember tweeting out because people were giving me the business after the fact because hindsight is 2020. And I was like, well, I see this as being more of a natural fit because he had a really good run in San Jose. And there was an association with the organization. And then here, conversely, you had Mike Babcock, who had left the Detroit Red Wings, was all but hired in Buffalo. And then all of a sudden, the Leafs came and offered him more money than he could refuse. And why would you?
Don't kid yourself.
And then
Buffalo had some
here.
Cake on the table.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I don't think it was the money.
I know, but it's like Buffalo... Toronto.
That's what he said. He said it was more his wife wanted to live in a bigger city. She wanted to live in Toronto. I'm sure there's truth to that. But
of course.
I think he was also convinced. I think Shanahan played a part in this.
Absolutely.
I mean, Shanahan has done a great job of convincing people that everything's going to work
Brandon's
out here.
Brandon's been unbelievable as the maestro of this organization. Because when he got hired, too, I was like, well, listen, I know he's a hockey ops guy. You know, how good is he going to be on the management side? And he's been brilliant. He's made a lot of really good moves with the Lou Deeney, bringing him in, subsequently letting him go, letting Kyle Dubas have his run as the general manager right now. Mike's been obviously a good hire as the coach. It certainly helps when you win the lottery. I will say this, though, the Hunter influence in terms of the draft is going to be missed down the line because I really do think that was a significant factor.
I think he played a role in it, but, you know, I didn't need Mark Hunter to go up and say I'm taking Austin Matthews first.
No, I understand, but Mitch Marner, yes.
Marner was good. Yeah,
and
Marner was
Nylander,
a great pick.
Yes.
And William Nylander was a great
honestly,
pick.
Honestly, I'll
not
put the Hunters up as assessors of talent against anybody.
He's great at that job. I think
the
other people
family.
Can do it well, too. But I think what Shanahan has done here that is different than what any of his predecessors have done is completely changed the narrative about how difficult it is to play here and about how nobody wants to play here. It's funny how now, once they draft and develop properly and they bring in the right people and the ownership gets out of the way, and that's what happened when Bell and Rogers took over, they said, here's the money and we're going to get out of the way. And for the most part, I think they have stayed out of the way. All of a sudden, nobody's saying that the media runs people out of town. Nobody's saying that the fan base is too rabid and too crazy.
No.
And that was always a fallacy.
It was
always off base to suggest that the reason this team wasn't any good was because of the media or because the fans were freaks.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Some people have
they weren't any good because the management
was
terrible.
And now all they do is are negative over everything that happens with the Maple Leafs.
I'm with you.
A lot of the guys, exactly, who had their fingerprints all over everything.
Yeah. Oh, the media is just so negative. Why would you ever play here? It's just you guys are crazy. You criticize everything. Join the media? Guess what they do?
Yeah. Criticize everything.
It's like, what? I don't get it.
No,
and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's a circle of life, man.
It was a silly narrative to begin with. And it is the best place to play when you win. And it's not a bad place when you lose. You are still adored. It's a great sports
city. Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I saw something in The Athletic earlier this week. I think Craig Custance did a piece forecasting the standings in the NHL in 2 or 3 years. And I don't know which panel he used to, you know, accumulate the votes and all that. But one of the criteria was the marketplace. And I think Toronto was ranked second or third in the league. And the description was, this is a place everyone wants to play, and it's a great hockey market, which it always has been. Even when they were off, it was a great hockey market, and the Leafs have always owned this town. But again, that's something that, it's an intangible, it's impossible to truly define, but Shanahan and company have completely reversed that. This idea that nobody wants to be here, that you can't possibly thrive here, and you're just constantly being, you know, strangled by the media and by the fan base, and you can't have a Twitter account or Instagram, you can't have any fun. It's not true. All these guys want to be here. Tavares
Although
couldn't
they did
wait
add
to be
structure,
here.
Though.
They did.
They really did.
But that was a
lot
part of
structure.
It, though. That was and a that part of the foundation to get to this point.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, I sat in the back of the bus, and, you know, Matt Sundin and Darcy Tucker and Brian McCabe, I'll tell you what, those guys won and won some playoff series and had some success, and the people loved them. I was like, man, I don't know if you get better than that. I grew up here. I watched it. I'm like, what? And then people are like, why would I go to Toronto and put myself through that crap? I'm pretty sure Mitch Marner's liking his life right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and the point Willie being, Nylander.
I'm pretty sure Connor Brown has a good life right now.
For sure. When they were garbage, of course you don't want to play for them. Not because of the city or the fans or the media, because the team was garbage.
And everything
changed. Of course
changed.
You don't want to play on that
team.
No,
why would you?
Yeah, the New York Yankees, they go on runs where they make the playoffs. They won those World Series.
Listen,
and
there's a reason why John Tavares signed here. He did, and this wouldn't have happened in the past.
No, and it's all factored into a completely different script
job.
And a completely
really
different
has.
Vibe. Leafs Sabres on TSN 4 tonight. Let's head down there and catch up with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on a Maple Toyota hotline. How many Leaf fans kicking around down there?
Well, there's none in the car I'm in with Gord.
Gord's a Leaf fan. Gord's a closet Leaf fan.
Ray, do you and Gord ever look at each other and just say, like, get your own car, or do you guys like...
Yeah, actually, we have talked about... Now, this is coming close to 10 years now that we've been doing games, and we have said, I don't know that we have any stories we haven't told each other yet. Like, after 10 years, you'd start telling a story, and you can see the other guy's eyes glaze over.
Yeah. But the way you guys make them up, I'm sure you'll figure out a few more. Seriously.
Oh, listen to the big boy down the end.
Oh, yeah. Dutch is bringing the heat today.
Is he ever like you don't have the one-armed fisherman story, do you, Dutch?
The one-armed fisherman story?
Yeah, how big's your fish? God, this big.
That's a good one, don't you think, Dutch? Steal that and use it on SportsCenter tonight.
No thanks.
No? Okay.
No, I'm all right. I got my own material. That's
Sorry,
all right.
Ray.
Dude, I'm not in the stealing game.
I tried, man.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about Babcock's quote. I just read it. I haven't heard it, but I guess he was, you know, kind of pandering to the Sabres organization. And he said, you know, the way the Sabres are playing and the way they're building that operation down there, it's going to, the day is coming and it's coming soon where Leaf fans aren't going to be able to get tickets to these games in Buffalo. And I want to pull him aside and be like, Mike, you realize that the Sabres have been very good in the past. They went to a cup final in 99. They won the President's Trophy in 06. It doesn't matter. Leaf fans are buying tickets and they're getting in that building.
Well, so today he spoke about the, you know, the tickets and the way the Sabres are filling the building. He was an authority on Seattle because he coached in Spokane, which is nowhere near Seattle. But
yeah,
it was an awesome display today. I mean, it's like they keep asking him, and he's going to keep answering. So, look, ever since I was playing here, you knew people were coming from Toronto when the Leafs would play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd see the highlights would be on, and the Leafs would score, and half the building jumps up. And, you know, I guess the Sabres hope it'll be different than that in the future, but there's always going to be people here.
Yeah, it's supply and demand. It's basic commerce. Leaf fans will pay. I remember going right and taking my sons and my daughter because it was the best place and the closest to go get tickets to go watch a game.
I've heard it even go a step further. Like, people have come up with crazy stories. They all have their stories where it's like, it was cheaper for me to drive to Long Island or fly to Long Island, always, get a ticket, go to the game, than to go to one Leaf game. It's like people around the world, they're like, it's cheaper for me to fly to Vancouver, play golf. It's just, I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm not sure I actually believe any of those.
I don't either. I don't believe it. With everything you put into the travel, blah, 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 it's not cheaper. So stop saying it is.
But it's a good out if you need a little quality time.
Yeah. Well, and the Sabres
team, if you're like, hey, listen, I got cheaper tickets this way, I got
to
go.
That's the explanation. I have to leave my house now.
It's like, you know.
But this Sabres team, man, I mean, we know the story about them. They're legit this year. I would put Tampa and Toronto certainly one class above them, if not multiple classes. But once you get beyond that, are the Sabres on par with Boston? Are they on par with the Habs? Where would you rank the Buffalo Sabres?
Not Boston. If Boston gets everybody back, I mean, right now they're a MASH unit, right? They're even now their defense is just shredded. They don't have Bergeron. Clearly difference makers for them, Chara, McAvoy. I look at the Sabres and, you know, they're going to get Connor Sherry back tonight. Jason Pominville won't play. I don't know. Are those guys difference makers? Because if they're not, they're pretty much a one-line team. Like, they get almost all of their offense from Eichel, Skinner, and Reinhardt right now. And so that's tough to sustain. The bottom end of their lineup gives them nothing offensively, and that's where I see the step back coming for them. Is that as the year gets a little deeper and the games get a little tighter, it's not like their bottom six or seven forwards are all of a sudden going to start filling the net for them.
Well, I don't think there's any disputing that, but that kind of feels like where we're at with a lot of teams in the league, doesn't it? I mean, there's that top line that's going to score like 40-45% of your goals. Mm-hmm. And it can work for some teams. It has for Boston. It does for Colorado right now. I don't see why it can't work for Buffalo, at least in terms of them getting to the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to do damage once they get there, but I think they can get to the playoffs.
Well, so to get there, like, you know, in my world, they're not as good as Boston. So that's
agreed.
We'll see. You know, so that's three in front of them in this division. And so now you get into that, you know, can you grab a wild card spot? Can you, you know, are you better than the teams from the other division that are going to be fighting the same spot or fighting the same battle? I hope they do, because I think it's pretty cool when Buffalo's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, these people here have suffered through some pretty rotten hockey, man, enough. And so Eichel's a hell of a player, and Skinner's had an amazing start, and Mittelstadt looks like he's starting to come on a little bit here. It would be awesome for them to have a reason to be excited to come to the rink again here, because I remember this place when we used to come in here when they were really good, and you'd be like, man, they'd batter you around a little bit. The place was loud, and it was a good hockey place, and for half a dozen years, it's not been.
Right, kind of bouncing around a little bit now. I just thought of something. We're both former Hartford Whalers. Do you think, and I don't know if you know this, but the Whalers logo, the sales on websites, it's still at the top of the charts for sales for a jersey. Do you think Seattle could ever just say, piss on it, we're going to be the Seattle Whalers and bring that jersey back and bring that uni back? I mean, it kind of fits, doesn't it?
It would be awesome. Somebody must own the rights to it.
Yeah, probably the Hurricanes, obviously.
Or does it revert to the league?
Well, I don't know, but the Hurricanes are going to wear that jersey, I think, December 23rd, right?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the jersey back, because I think it's just, it's the coolest logo. There's all these, of course, today, there's all these different suggestions about what could be and what names could be. The Kraken, I guess that's some kind of sea creature. The totems is what they used to be. And
the Kraken?
So I don't know. I don't even know what the hell it is, but apparently, you know. So I remember as a kid the Seattle Totems. They had amazing, amazing jerseys.
Ray, you tweeted that out, and I saw that picture. I'm like, that's the nicest jersey I've ever seen.
Isn't that odd? So I would love for them to do that. I hope it's not some boring thing. Like they had the little kid there today wearing some red, black, and gray thing. I'm like, oh, don't do that. That's blue and green. That's the colors of that team. That's what it should be. I hope they go to that.
The only thing is, though, with all the backlash with the Cleveland Indians and Washington Redskins, is the Totems just gonna, it's gonna piss some people off, and maybe rightfully so, but are they gonna even want to go there is the question.
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, a totem pole is an iconic carving. You know what a totem pole is, but I mean, like they have great honor, and so I mean, as my understanding is, I don't think it's quite the same.
In this day and age, it'll piss somebody off.
Yeah, if it is, then they can't use it. Well, then that's the, you know, I guess that's the way it goes. But man, it's a beautiful look for them.
Well, I mean, Seattle, they're not going to be joining the team until the 2021 season, so it's still a ways away. But, you know, I was looking at this, and I understand it from the NHL's perspective and the other owners. They're going to make a lot of money. They want to balance out the amount of teams in the league, 16 in the East, 16 in the West. But if you're a fan of any other team in the league, short of Vegas, who just got in and they can't really complain about this, how does this 32nd team benefit a longstanding fan? If you're in Toronto or Montreal or Boston or Washington.
Watered-down effect again.
Watered-down. They're going to take one of your players in a few years. And like, why should I be excited in Toronto because Seattle has a team?
No, you don't have to be. But at one point, I mean, we
weren't
born. No, well, but they were. Toronto was an expansion team at one time. If there's no expansion teams, there's no teams. And then you're watching a bunch of little kids skate around a pond.
Well, that's were an original six, right? Come on.
Well, they were an expansion team. There was no league. So why would a team in Detroit be excited about a team in Toronto?
Well,
I mean, isn't that kind of the same argument?
No, because
like, you don't have to be jumping up and down.
It's watered down. I think it's going to water down the product, will it not?
Well, you know what waters down the product is the fact that you watch a game that is played a completely different way than the way that we were used to watching it.
100%.
I don't think it's players. I think it's the style of the game.
Oh, 100%.
Do you not think the players, Dutch? I don't even think Brian might not even agree. Like, the players today are better across the board than they used to be.
For sure.
Like, from top to bottom. It's the style of game leads to no conflict. It leads to very little physicality. The Buffalo broadcast, they have a sponsor, Karuba Collision. And
they have a tough time finding one?
Yeah, I said today, by the way, that door slammed. Gord left the car and forgot his phone in the car. And so he had to come back from wherever the hell he was to pick up his phone. And so he just came in like an elephant and slammed the door.
True professional.
I'm amused. I think that's what changes the game. It's not the water down of the talent so much as the way the game is.
No, there's more talent on the ice right now than there's ever been. More talent. It is a skill fest. It is a 5-on-5 competition, and there isn't the same physicality that there used to be. There's not the same sort of jam. It's just a different game. I was saying this the last time I was on the radio, Ray, is that I really used to like it, and trust me, I don't want to see players end up with CTE and pugilistic dementia at the end of it. I want them to have a quality of life after the fact. But I used to love the game because it would ride that rail and it was one hit away from turning into utter chaos. And there seemed to be just the emotional involvement. There was a lot more intensity for the respective teams. Now, Brian, you were calling for the fact that the league has to schedule it. So you get Buffalo in Buffalo on Friday, like they used to. Then the Sabres come to Toronto on Saturday. It's like back-to-back
nights.
That was
a bloodbath.
Oh, my God. It was a guaranteed, you were guaranteed heat on a back-to-back.
That's why I think the league said we're not doing it anymore. Like even, and I think they could get away with it now because nothing's going to happen. It's not like, you know, if you played Buffalo tonight, tomorrow Matthews is going to challenge Eichel.
It's not Sugar Ray and Domi.
It's not going to happen. But like I was just saying this earlier, Ray. I remember growing up in Toronto. It was awesome. It was Friday night in Buffalo, Saturday in Toronto. And by Saturday around the end of the first, it was all hell was going to break loose. Never happens anymore.
Well, I was just on the radio in Vancouver, and they said, you know, but the rivalry with Seattle when they come in. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, because it's 3 hours away, but it's not the same. It just, and it won't be the same. I mean, I hope there's a little bite to it. I hope there's some excitement in the buildings. Like, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be what, like, we used to remember, like the Rangers and Islanders. You're talking Toronto and Buffalo. Like, that's
Bruins, Whalers, Norris, yeah, Habs. No.
Man, Mike Milbury got out of the bus in Boston because one of the workers had parked his car where the Bruins bus couldn't get out from the Civic Center. And Mike was coaching the Bruins, and he got out and smashed the guy's window out. like some guy just like, yeah, I'm going to park here and block the bus.
I need that, man. No, I need some of that back in the NHL.
No, absolutely.
I'd love to see it, and it's not going to happen. And I guess there's also a kind of a bitterness from my standpoint. I'd prefer to see Quebec City get a team, a second team in Toronto. You know, Seattle is going to be granted a team, and I don't know the market. I hope it works. I have no reason to believe it can't. I don't think they'd go there thinking it's going to fail, but it just...
I'll tell you what.
This is where the NHL is.
I get to Toronto, like... All my buddies up at my restaurant, Grazzi and Vaughn. How come Toronto doesn't have a second team? I'm like, it's not.
They're not going to do it.
Gary has no interest.
Batman has no interest in doing it. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
And you know, as far as Quebec, you got to get into the, you know, the financial wherewithal of the city. You know, is there enough corporate sponsorship? I don't know. How would I know? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not in business in Quebec. And so those that say, oh, they can support a team. Can they? I don't know. I do know in Seattle, the biggest challenge for them is going to be it's a really competitive sports market.
Mm-hmm.
University of Washington, Seattle Sounders draw 40,000 a game to the soccer. You got the Seahawks, you got the Mariners. Man, if they ever get basketball back there, then that's the biggest challenge. You know, like that was a huge, huge basketball city. And then they were gone.
And by all accounts, you know, there's ownership there fighting for it.
Do you have any recollection, Brian, what happened there? Like, they had Kevin Durant, didn't they?
Yeah,
all of a sudden they just left?
His rookie year, he was in Seattle.
And then, boom, gone to Oklahoma City.
I think it was a building issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, they wanted something to do with Key Arena to get rebuilt. And then the owner scooted because he got a, you know, it was Oklahoma City they went to, wasn't it?
Yep, yes. It was. Yep.
Yeah, and so they had a brand new building waiting for them then, and all this time later, they're finally getting around to building a new building, but it's Key Arena still that they're just going to gut, and I can't even imagine what that thing's going to look like. The drawings look spectacular, but that was all that time ago that the Sonics left to, you know, to go to Oklahoma City.
Right.
And it was, and again, business is going to drive it. They didn't have a building, they couldn't get a new one, and so... Off they went.
Well, good on them, too, for not doing... I've played in Carolina where it's like, we just got to get down there, and you're going to another rink, and it's like you're trying to get different fans, and you're... Like, good for them to say, not till 2021.
Seattle.
It's like, everything's going to be done. It's going to be ready.
Get the new rink ready.
And we're not going to rush this and then kind of force this on people, and they're going to drive an hour out of the city. It's going to be done properly.
You know what's going to be interesting, and I'm sure it'll be played 100 times before, you know, if there's a lockout, is that Bettman's comments today about the strength of the league, and it's never been better, and, more solid than ever, better franchises than ever, and Seattle comes in 21, and 2020 is the potential lockout year, right? So, man, I hope they can scoot over that, because... It sure sounded today good.
It sounded good today.
It always does. Believe me. By the time that CBA comes to an end.
They can't go down that road.
Oh, again. They will. Why wouldn't they? I'm bracing myself for it. I think you'd be silly not to. I hope it doesn't happen. But
laughable when other sports fans are like, you guys are doing another lockout? Yeah. Really, another one?
That's all he does. That's all he does.
I believe they've learned their lesson.
No,
I'm going to be an optimist in this regard, and I'm going to deal with it when I have to deal with it, because I have so many negative flashbacks to the last lockout and the lockout prior to that. I mean,
they can't do the one before that.
I mean, it's just, it's
no, stupid. We'll see, man. I'm telling you, because you say that, Ray, and I agree with you. It's always, hey, better than ever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's, well, we'd like to get a World Cup going, but the players won't negotiate. I don't know what's going on there. So then they kind of drop a little nugget like, well, it's not all perfect. It's not all rosy. There are some things that have to be sorted out. I hope it doesn't get to that point, but I think you'd be silly not to be bracing yourself for it.
I'm going to be silly.
Oh, good for
you. I just can't do it again.
Yeah. Well, that's the right mentality.
No, I'm serious.
I wish I had that mentality.
Ridiculous exercise and frustration ever.
Ray, quickly, before we let you go, McDavid missed the game in Dallas last night, and they got smoked. Is there a bigger drop-off? What's the panic like in that room when they find out he's not playing?
Yeah, what do you mean he's got the flu? Get him better.
No kidding.
Hang on. I'm on the radio, pal.
Tell me that was Gore.
I love it.
So, guys, I get my phone on my ear. He's like, you got a minute? So, I don't know.
Take a lap.
Theoretically, I do. Take a lap. I don't know. I'll go sign for him. Now I lost my train of thought.
Yeah,
McDavid. By the way, it would be the same as when Ole was out for Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. Tragedy. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't we have medical coverage here? Get this guy back in the lineup.
In Hitch's return to Dallas, too.
He's golfing somewhere, and he's not playing.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
You take him out of that lineup, and you look at the names in there, and you're my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a drop-off. All right, buddy, enjoy tonight.
Enjoy, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah,
tomorrow at 5 p.m. You got it.
I want to see Rasmus Dahlin tonight.
He's such a good player, such a talent.
And see his skill level against the Leafs' skill level. Looking forward to it.
Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com.
I will say this about Dahlin. I know you're Mr. Patient. He's the D-man. I thought I would have said wow on SportsCenter a few more times. That's all I'm going to say.
You made a yow play last night in Nashville, the neutral zone,
got knocked off the puck a little bit, but was able to
maintain
his balance.
I'm just saying, I thought it was going to be the follow-up with McDavid and Patrick Kane and Matthews and Marner, where it was like, oh, wow. We watch Dutch and everybody every morning. It's like, it's there. It's like, oh, wow. Probably the best thing for him. Remember when Morgan Riley, Babcock, was like, learn how to kill penalties. Then you can worry about the flash and dash later. Hopefully they're doing something like that where it's like, learn how to play and feel this thing out. And when you get the grasp of it, then go nuts and do whatever you want.
But it is harder on the back end. Name the last D-man that came in, like Charlie McAvoy for Boston was the one that was where I was like, when he came into the playoffs as a kid, I was like, wow, crazy.
The year I
step
came
into
in,
the postseason.
Eddie Jovanovski was
Remember Jovo Cup?
Yeah.
Remember him and Lindros in the playoffs in 96?
He was knocking Eric Lindros around like it was me.
Like crushing Lindros. Crushing.
You should have seen him in junior when I was playing against him. Imagine some guy that was a gangly, like 6'3", and he would just get, like, it was helmet was flying off. It was...
Yeah. He was in Windsor.
It's tough, too.
It was like Randy Johnson hitting that bird.
Yeah. See you later. There's an update on Markel Fultz.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll get you the update. We'll tell you.
I don't even want it. I can't.
Shoulder update?
I'll hook you up with
the info. Let me guess. His elbow is infected.
We'll get to it next.
Poison.
Raptors with a big game tomorrow night with the Sixers in town. And you can follow TSN 1050 on Instagram and find our latest giveaway post. Tag the friend you would bring to see the Leafs take on the Red Wings this Thursday. So it's Raps Philly tomorrow night, Leafs Detroit on Thursday night. And on Thursday, again, if you jump on Instagram, you could be sitting in the Lotto 649 jackpot seats for the game on Thursday. A lucky winner and a guest will be announced Wednesday on Leafs Lunch. So tomorrow night, again, Phillies in town. Markel Fultz, if he was healthy and could shoot, didn't have the yips, he would be playing. But he's not going to be playing because his agent has come out and said that Markel has been diagnosed with a nerve damage issue.
Torn cartilage.
That affects the nerves between the neck and the shoulder, resulting in abnormal functional use. And he's out indefinitely.
I feel terrible for this kid. I really do. I've never seen anything quite like it.
The question I have is, was there not any signs of this before the draft?
Not at all.
No.
He was the number one consensus first overall pick.
Well, who's the other
not in Boston's mind?
Oh, Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
Lonzo
not in Boston's
Ball?
Mind because Danny Ange got the guy he wanted. Traded the, you know,
Lonzo
he traded
Ball out of the first part of thought of mine. But Jason Tatum, you don't pick him over. I don't know.
Well, this kid. I mean, listen, I didn't watch him play a lot at Washington. I don't know, but he was a stud. They were saying what this guy was basically.
I know,
was
but to
be
miss
like
on
Derrick
that.
Rose when he came out,
and I guess you can never predict when a guy sounds so stupid to say, but. He can't shoot anymore?
He can't shoot.
That's why it's incomprehensible. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen baseball players, obviously, Chuck Knobloch, certain pitchers who can't throw from home plate to first base. I've seen golfers get the yips, where all of a sudden you start to struggle. They take the putter back,
awful.
And they just start. But this.
Who's the guy from the Cubs that can't?
John Lester can't throw.
He cannot throw at the first base. He throws his glove with the ball in
100%.
It.
100%. Yeah, he's got some sort of psychological block, but yet from 60 feet, 6 inches, he humps it up there and can put it on a dime for you. You pick your spot. Where do you want the fastball, the slider?
Man.
Yeah, the psyche is. But honestly, if I threw you a basketball right now, I'm not saying the three of us are professional players by any stretch, but you zip me the ball, I'm going to let a jumper go.
Oh, I can make it rain right now.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm going to make the shot.
I will.
But I'm going to let the shot go, and it's going to have a little bit of. And this guy's balled his whole life.
This is a crazy comparison.
It's crazy.
It's a crazy comparison.
I feel bad for him. That's got to be an awfully frustrating feeling.
The comparison is Charles Barkley in golf. He used to be a scratch golfer.
But he was never the first overall pick into
I don't
the
care,
PGA.
Dutch. It's still he was playing golf at a high level.
I didn't know that information. I just assumed he was a chop his whole life.
Yeah. No.
This guy, I've heard you put Barkley on a driving range today, and this guy can absolutely rope a ball. He can still on the driving range, he'll hit 250-yard cutters. And he can drop a ball.
Put two people and a scorecard in his hand.
He
and
can't
this
play.
Guy turns into Dorf on golf.
Yeah. Exactly. He literally can't play.
But get back to Fultz. I mean, this is what he's done his whole life. That's what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, mechanically, he starts trying to alter it.
And clearly, his agent they're trying to find a reason. And I'm not disputing.
And it's gone south. Listen, you come as the first overall pick.
Of course,
you're expected to contribute.
You better. You're in bust mode right now.
And you know the NBA is a status league.
This is Greg Odom.
Let's see what you got, baller.
This is Greg Odom 2.0.
Although Odom was at least injuries.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying this guy has now is an injury.
On.
They're
we
saying he has a nerve malfunction. I agree with you.
We know it's psychological.
But and here's the problem with it is they said this is treatable. It's obviously an issue that is treatable, but they said that it's treatable by physical therapy, not surgery. And if it's physical therapy, I'm not trying to downplay that, but what it sounds like is his agent is trying to come up with some sort of an explanation that they can feed to people when it just feels like a mental block.
Yeah,
feels like this guy has forgotten how to shoot.
I feel terrible for him.
And listen, he doesn't have to give back his signing bonus. I feel bad for the guy, too, but he still made a lot of money as that first overall
pick. That's
true.
That's a good point.
This is not, this is not something that is going to be easy for him to get through.
But to watch him go to the free throw line even, did you see when he had to do the back and forth? I'll slap it from each hand, then I'll shoot it?
Yeah, it's
painful.
No, you don't want to be associated with this.
Run up and dunk it.
Just off the free throw line.
Yeah.
He's not Dr. J.
Well, you saw last night when Mark Sanchez came into the game for the for the Redskins after Colt McCoy blew out his knee or whatever it was. Immediately the butt fumble.
Yeah, ended up broken fibula.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, dude. He went down and it was his leg came over and it hit the defender's leg and it just snapped his pin.
Mm-hmm.
Snapped his leg. His leg just went wah wah.
Yeah.
Not
so
good.
Sanchez comes in immediately, the butt fumble play comes up and immediately that's what he is known
associated
for.
With, yeah.
That's what he's associated with, and that's Markel Fultz now. Markel Fultz is associated not with being the first overall pick, not with being a great talent out of college. He's associated with not being able to shoot. He's a basketball player that can't shoot. And Mark Sanchez is a quarterback that ran into his own offensive lineman and fumbled the ball, and it's now the butt fumble, and that's what he's always going to be known for.
Yeah, not back-to-back AFC championships with the Jets.
Not fifth overall pick. Nope. You know, not a stud out of USC.
Yeah.
Nothing, man. It's butt fumble. And that's,
dude, I even forgot he had a five-game suspension last year.
Was that PED use?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right. And then you see him. I feel bad for Washington. Listen, Washington was six up and three down. They looked like they were going to be the class of the division in the NFC East.
They were in the driver's seat until Smith went down.
They really were. And then as soon as Alex Smith. But they went from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith to Colt McCoy
to Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
That's a significant drop.
I think if you look at what Kirk Cousins is doing in Minnesota right now, I don't think you can talk about it as that big of a drop-off. It's like he hasn't been...
No, but he still, he gives him a... Minnesota's been weird this year. The Vikings have been... But he's still a quality NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's mediocre. That's what he is.
He's
mediocre. For him to get that kind of
bread, no.
No, of course he's not.
$84 million mediocre.
Oh, I'm not saying his bank account is mediocre, but I'm saying if you've watched Kirk Cousins, which we all have, there was no reason to believe this guy was going to show up and turn into an elite quarterback. He's not.
No.
There are at least 12 to 13 quarterbacks in the league. Everybody on earth would take over Kirk Cousins. So if you're somewhere between 14 and 18, 14 and 20, you're mediocre. That's what
you're middle of the road, yeah?
Yeah, you're middle of the road.
For sure. In that league, 100%.
Which, listen, they'll pay for that if you're desperate, right? Like Case Keenum is the guy he replaced. Keenum is mediocre or below mediocre.
Below mediocre.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the Vikings still feel okay about the move that they made. But to your point, though, I think Washington, when they got Alex Smith, and Smith went out there and was playing pretty well.
Smith was playing great for him.
They felt fine about Kirk Cousins 100%. Moving on. You know, they understood why they made the move that they did. But now they're stuck with Mark Sanchez, now... They're in trouble.
Yeah, I got a quarterbackless team in the Giants, and you know we reside in that division. And they've got special players in Saquon, but I can't figure the G-man out.
Eli's got to go.
He's got to go.
He's got to go.
Because they have elite level talent. Odell's crazy, but he's crazy talented too. And Saquon is special, and Evan Ingram looks like he's going to be an above average.
Sterling Sharp is a decent too.
Absolutely. You know?
They've got some talent there. I don't dispute that.
They can't. Eli's done.
He can't make
Super
the throws.
Bowl, though, man. Hey, good for him.
Oh, you can't look back and be disappointed with his tenure. He's had a great run in New York.
Two Super Bowls.
Jack Armstrong will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. Bob McKenzie will be in studio. His take on Seattle and what kind of landscape this is going to mean for the NHL in 2021 when they finally make their debut. We'll get into the Leafs-Sabres game tonight as well. You can watch that on TSN4. It's a big night, big game. And William Nylander is not playing tonight. I don't even think he's in Buffalo. Sure, that bag skate today probably was epic for him.
The thing is, you can't go crazy on a guy because the last thing you want is
get him burnt.
My groin's blown out, so it's like
you don't think they skated him today?
Oh, but not much though.
I'm sure he was moving around today. I would say Saturday would be a good time for him to maybe
air it out
in Boston.
Oh yeah,
little money bag skate, dude. I like the way he's played it.
Good for him.
He
got every dollar he possibly could.
Good for him.
Every dollar he possibly could. I never blame
a player
for trying to get
the money. And good for the Leafs for getting him in, too, because I thought the scenario was ridiculous. I thought it behooves both sides. And they did. They ended up making a deal, and they're the better for it. And they got business. Your club has got business. They're a great team.
They're a very, very good team.
Very good team.
Jack's coming up. Bob McKenzie as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. So Overdrive is off to Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send us an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style, and you could be getting hitched in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by tripcentral.ca. All of the details for this contest up on our website, tsn1050.ca. Sound good, Dutch? Oh,
are you kidding? Vegas.
You've been
is
to
my
Vegas
town.
Many times.
At least 20.
At least 20 times.
Yeah, for sure.
See, I envy you guys.
In Edmonton. It was such a cheap and easy flight. It was perfect. You just zip down there. So we used to go all the time, and then for sporting events, other engagements, frivolity, fun. Dude, I like to gamble. What can I say?
It gives you a lot of options down there, doesn't it?
Dude, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I love it, man. There's no other place on the planet where you can roll out of your hotel room at like 9 o'clock in the morning and somebody's going to spill a Caesar on your feet.
And it's buzzing, too.
It's on fire. Last time we were in Vegas for the fight, I went to the gym, got up, got my son. He was down hanging out with me in Vegas. He took a little holiday time from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I explained to him, I said, listen, I just got in the elevator and this lady and her husband are in there. And I'm like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and she's rubbing my arm and she's got a Michelob in one hand and my arm in the other. And she is absolutely greased and she's telling her husband how she likes this and her husband's making a muscle. And he's like, well, what about me? And so they stumble out. They're just absolutely lit. Like you said, this is like 8 o'clock.
What time is this at?
8 in the morning. And they are greased. And so I get my son up, we go down, he starts telling me about this lady that he was playing blackjack with the night before, and she was just stumbly and hammered, and chips were falling all out of her purse, hundreds and quarters and nickels flying everywhere. Yep. And so I point to her, and because we're walking by her, and I'm like, oh, see that lady right there? That's the one that grabbed my arm. And he's like, oh, that's the lady I was playing with last night. Lady hadn't been to bed.
No way.
She's going strong.
That's outstanding.
Her and her
see,
hubby.
I support that, man.
Just,
that's what we're looking for in this
trip. But, dude, that's what Vegas
giveaway.
Is all about.
Well, exactly, and hopefully we get a pair of people. And I
oh, you're going to get some winners.
The vetting process is already ongoing. There's been some great, great submissions already in terms of people that want to do this.
And I think I've got a pretty good handle on your audience.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to have a good time. You could get 10,000 people that listen to this show, and you're going to have fun in Vegas.
Oh, it's going to be outstanding.
Yeah,
and the Leafs are playing too, right? The Leafs are in Vegas on that Thursday night, so we're going to do the show down there on the Strip. Then we're going to like some corny. Chapel, I guess, down there. The uh-huh. wedding's going to go down, and then we're going to the game.
Little White Chapel?
Yeah, exactly. So it should be great. And the Leafs, I feel pretty comfortable that they're going to be in a good spot come mid-February.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight, I'm looking forward to this game, man.
So
I really am. Because Buffalo, they're an exciting team. They're a young team. It's Eichel versus Matthews, mm-hmm. Skinner versus Marner, whichever way you want to define it. Dahlin's going.
Yeah, they do have one really dominant line. I don't know how good they are, if they'll be able to sustain it. I'm kind of like in Ray's group in that regard.
Bit skeptical.
I don't think they're as good as their record indicates. Would I like to see Buffalo make it into the postseason? Absolutely. I'd love to see the Sabres skate in, but I don't think they're anywhere near as good as the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Those two teams are the best team in the division. I think Boston, when they're healthy, they're still a really, really good team.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Washington's going to have something to say about it. And yeah. We're not talking about Pittsburgh.
I think Buffalo will stay in the hunt.
I think Pittsburgh's going to get their act together. They got it, don't they? They got to make the playoffs.
It's taken a while.
I know.
They do not look like themselves.
They really don't, but they still have Crosby, so I'm going to defer for...
Yeah, history would tell
longer.
You that you should give them some credit,
yeah,
for sure.
You know, and they'll get their act together,
yeah.
And then they'll eventually scramble, find their way to make it into the postseason, and then look out.
Bob McKenzie will be in studio in the next hour. Leafs Sabres tonight, we'll tee that up with him, get his take on Seattle in the NHL. And Jack Armstrong will join us. We'll look back on the Raptors' rare loss to Denver last night, and with Philly in town tomorrow night, what can we expect? The coach will be on just after 6. Dutchie's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.